Christian soldiers marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes. Shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for Friday, December the 9th, 2016, and we are going to be wrapping up the book of 1 Samuel today, chapters 30 and 31. And we're still in the process of talking about Dawid in chapter 30. This is going to finish up a lot of stuff here today with Dawid defeating the Amalekites. And if we remember in the last chapter, chapter 29, Dawid and his men were sent home. The lords of the Philistines did not want them with them. They were afraid they would turn on them in battle and help out Israel. And they may very well have, but they were sent back. And that's where chapter 30 picks up. Verse 1, it was when Dawid and his men came to Ziklag. Now remember, that was the city that the king of the Amalekites, Achish, had given him to rule over. When Dawid and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amaleki had raided into the Negeb, that means the southern portion, and Ziklag, and smote Ziklag and burned it with fire. Verse 2. And had the women captive that were in it. They slew not any, but drove them off. That's all one word, 59, he drove them off and went on their way. They just gathered up all the women and got them in a big group and ran them off like cattle. So, verse 3, so Dawid and his men came to the town, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives, sons, and daughters were taken away captive. That didn't set well, I don't think. Verse 4. Dawid and the people that were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep. That all that was their families that was taken. So that was particularly unpleasant. Verse 5, Dawid's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam the Yezreelith, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And verse 5, you can reference 1 Samuel 25, verses 42 and 43. Verse 6, Dawid was in great straits, 3334, that's danger here. He was in a difficult situation because the people spoke of stoning him because the soul or feelings, 5315, of the people was bitter, 4843. every man for his sons and for his daughters. But Dawid strengthened himself in Yahweh Elohev. Okay, that means his God. Verse 7, said Dawid to Abiathar the priest, son of Ahimelech, please bring near, 5066, the ephod. And Abiathar brought near the ephod to Dawid. Verse 7, you can reference 1 Samuel 22. Verses 20 through 23. You have to pardon me if I have to mute the mic, folks. I'm still having the bronchial problem. Verse 8. Dawid inquired of Yahweh, saying, shall I pursue after this band of marauders? That's all one word. 14:16. And overtake them. That's 5:3:8:1. And he answered. That's Yahweh answered. Pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and surely recover. In other words, he was going to catch up with them and recover all his family and all the other families. And surely overtake is 5381 doubled for emphasis. And surely recover is 5337 doubled for emphasis. Verse 9. So Dawid went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the Wadi Besor, 1308. Now, Wadi is like a river bed, you know, how they're wide up above the banks in case they go into flood, but that's the river channel. Came to the Wadi Besor, where those left behind, 3498, would stand. Verse 10, but Dawid pursued, he and 400 men. 200 men had taken a stand, which were too exhausted, 6296, to pass over the Wadi Besor. They had to go through the stream. They were exhausted. Verse 11, they found a man of Mitzri in the field. Now that's an Egyptian, that's a man of Egypt, and brought him to Dawid and gave him bread, and he ate and made him drink water. Verse 12, they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two bunches of raisins. When he had eaten, his spirit returned to him, because he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. In other words, he was just, there wasn't much left of him after that. Verse 13, said Dawid to him, to whom do you belong and where are you from? He was a slave. And he said, I am a young man of Mitzri. That's an Egyptian. Slave to an Amaleki. They had taken him as a captive slave from Egypt. And my master, 113, abandoned me. That's 5,800. Because 3 days ago, I fell sick. That's 2470, fell sick. Pardon me for a second, folks. Yeah, as soon as I get to talking for any length, that problem comes on. Verse 14, we raided the Negeb of the Kerethi, that's the Kerethites, 3774. And upon that of Yehuda, that's the tribe of Yehuda, of Israel. And upon the Negeb of Caleb, remember Caleb, son of Jephunneh? Well, that was his territory. And we burned Ziklag with fire. Verse 15, said Dawud to him, can you bring me down to this band of marauders? And he said, the slave replied, swear to me by Elohim that you will neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring you down to this band of marauders. In other words, he wanted to be set free from this Amalekite. Verse 16. When he had brought him down, he beheld them spread abroad, that's 5203, upon the surface of all the land, eating and drinking and making merry because of all the great spoil, 7998, they had taken away from the land of the Philistim and from the land of Yehuda. It's Judah. Okay. Verse 17. Dawud smote them from the twilight, 5399, to the evening, 6153, of the following day, 4283. And no man of them escaped except 400 young men who rode upon camels and fled. Verse 18, Dawud recovered all that Amalek had taken away, and Dawud rescued his two wives. Verse 19, nothing was lacking, 5737, in other words, missing, to them from small to great, neither sons nor daughters, from spoil nor any that they had taken away to them, Dawud recovered all. Verse 20, Dawud took all the flocks and herds they drove before those their livestock and said, this is Dawud's spoil. Verse 21, Dawud came to the 200 men which were too exhausted to follow after Dawud, who abode at the Wadi Besor. Remember, they left them behind because they just couldn't walk anymore. They were falling down. And they went forth to meet Dawud and to meet the people with him. And when Dawud came near to the people, he asked peace of them. Verse 22. Then answered all the wicked, 7451, men of Belial, 1100, that's worthlessness, from those that went with Dawud and said, because they did not go with us, we will not give them from the spoil that we recovered, except to every man his wife and children to lead away and depart. That's nice. Verse 23, said Dawud, you shall not do so, my kinsmen, with which Yahweh has given us, who guarded us, 8104, and gave us the band of marauders that came against us into our hand. Verse 24, who would listen to you in this matter? Because as his portion that goes forth to battle, so is his portion that stays by the baggage. They shall share alike. In other words, the men in the rear with the gear that just couldn't march anymore, that were falling down, they guarded the baggage train where all their stuff was. So they deserve a piece of the action, basically. Verse 25, and it was from that day onward, he made it a decree, 2706, that's Cook, C-H-O-Q, and an ordinance, 4941, that's Mishpat, for Israel unto this day. Verse 26, when Dawid came to Ziklag, he sent the spoil to the elders of Yehuda, to his friends, saying, behold, a present, 1293, for you from the spoil of the hated enemies of Yahweh. Verse 27, to those of Bethel, those of Ramoth Negeb, those of Yatir, 3492-28, those of Aror, those of Sifmoth, 8224, those of Eshtemoa, 851. Verse 29, those of Rakal, 7403, those in the city of the Yerachmeeli, those of the cities of the Cana, verse 30, those of Korma, those in Kor Ashan, 3565, those of Atak, 6269, those of Kebron, 2275, and to all the places where Dawid himself and his men had gone. All right, what has happened in this chapter is Dawid and his men wiped out the Amalekite raiders. They got back all their possession and family and took all the Amalekites' belongings as booty. Then Dawid is playing politician here. He's going to have to deal with these leaders of all these cities when he becomes king, and he understands that. So out of this booty that was of the Amalekites, he sends gifts to all the leaders he's going to have to deal with. Well, that goes on today too now, doesn't it? Okay? Except they do it while they're in office, when they're getting campaign funds from all these people. And then after they get in office, they let them basically get into the public funds, which is our tax money, and loot it. They get big contracts and such. So there's the difference between Dawid's time and this time. They're paying off all these basically dirt bags for favors after they have contributed to their campaign. They're sold part and parcel to special interest groups. Well, Dawid sent all these people booty that he took from the enemy. He didn't take it from the people of Israel. He took it from the enemy of Israel. Big difference there. Today they're taking it from the people of America or England or wherever, and giving it to these hooligans. So that's the difference. One is righteous, which was Dawid, and one is not righteous, which is our current politicians. Yeah. Let me get a good drink of water here because I'm going to get into chapter 31. That's a short chapter. And then I'm going to get into some explanations of what's coming up in 2 Samuel. This chapter tells of Shaul's death. Okay? Yahweh's finally going to take Shaul out. This is verse 1 of chapter 31 of 1 Samuel. This is the last chapter of this two-part book. The Philistim fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistim and fell down mortally wounded, that's one word, 2491, on Mount Gilboa. Verse 2, let me back up for a second. 1 Samuel 31, the whole chapter virtually equals 1 Chronicles chapter 10. They're almost word for word. Verse 2, the Philistines stayed after 1692 Shaul and his sons. And the Philistim smote Jonathan, that's David's good friend, Abinadab and Malchishua, sons of Shaul. And when they say they smote them, that means they killed them. That's 5221, to smite to death. Their three sons of Shaul were wiped out. Verse 3. The battle was heavy, 3513, against Shaul, and the men shot arrows, 3384, shot arrows is one word, that found him, 4672, and he greatly, 3966, writhed in pain, that's one word, 2342, from the archers, 3384. Verse 4, said Shaul to his armor bearer, draw your sword and thrust me through with it, lest these possessors of foreskins, because that's what they called them, people that had foreskins, and means uncircumcised, come and thrust me through and divert themselves, 5953, with me. In other words, have fun torturing him. But his armor bearer would not, because he was greatly afraid. So Shaul took a sword and fell on it. All right, now, there's a disparity here. If you see 2 Samuel, which we're going to get into, chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, Shaul didn't die right away. There's another part of the story that will come up when we get into the next book on Monday. Verse 5, when his armor bearer saw that Shaul was dead, in other words, he had fallen on the sword. He thought he was dead. Continuing on, he also fell upon his sword and died with him. Well, that's not the whole story. More of it comes in 2 Samuel. Verse 6, so Shaul died and his three sons and his armor bearer and all his men that same day together. Now, what was said by the ghost, supposedly, of Shemuel? He said, they're all going to die. He predicted that when he was with that necromancer of Endor. He warned him what was coming. This is what's coming because you have violated Yahweh's law. You're going to die and all your men are going to die. Verse 7. When the men of Israel on the other side of the valley and those on the other side of the Jordan, that's the Jordan River, saw that the men of Israel fled and that Shaul and his sons were dead, they abandoned the towns and fled. And the Philistim came and dwelled in them. In other words, they just took over the towns. They gave up the towns. They ran away. Verse 8, it was on the next day when the Philistim came to strip the slain that they found Shaul and his three sons fallen on Mount Gilboa. Verse 9, and they cut off his head and stripped off all his armor and sent to the land of the Philistim all around to proclaim it, 13:19, in the house of their idols, 6:09:1, and among the people, because they were idol worshipers. Verse 10, they placed his armor in Beth Ashtaroth, that means the house of Ashtaroth, and that's the same goddess as Asherah and Ishtar. That's a fertility goddess, and that's her day is Ishtar Sunday. Instead of Passover, that's a pagan holiday. They call it Easter, but it's Ishtar. So that's pagan right there, but that's one of the Philistines' false goddesses. And she was goddess all over in all these pagan nations. They placed his armor in Beth Ashtaroth, and they fastened, 8:6-8, his body, 14:72. In other words, that's what they found, to the wall of Beth Shan, S-H-A-N, 1052, and that means house of quiet. Verse 11, when the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead heard what the Philistim had done to Shaul, verse 12, all the men of valor rose up and went all night and took away the bodies of Shaul and his sons from the wall of Beth Shan and came to Jabesh and burned them, 8:3-1:3, there. Verse 13. And they took their bones, which was all that was left after the burning, and buried them under a tamarisk tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. And that ends the book of 1 Samuel. That's 1 Samuel. Now this has been a book of prophecy and a story of Shaul and David throughout. It's been an exciting ride, I must say. All of the stuff that Shemuel prophesied and warned him about, he warned him about wanting an earthly king, a man as king instead of Yahweh, and he said, this is what's going to happen. And you're going to have all these wars, and he's going to take your sons, and he's going to do this, and he's going to do that, and all that stuff. And all of that came true. They did not reject Shemuel. They rejected Yahweh. No, we don't want him as king. We want a king like all the pagan nations around us. And he warned the people, this is what's going to happen. If you put a man over you, instead of Yahweh, this is what is going to happen. And they did it anyway. And we've got men over us today, and they're doing the same thing. They are not ruling us righteously. They are ruling according to greed and corporate greed, and they are controlled by the enemies of Israel, the Antichrist, Zionist Jew, and their minions. And they're doing everything but following the law of Yahweh. Everything they can do but Yahweh's will. Now, we were warned by Shemuel. Well, this warning still carries over to us today. Same deal. There are those of the remnant, namely, I'm going to name, Christian identists that are going back to following Yahweh's laws. And then there are those that are in the Judeo-Christian churches and they are giving lip service to it, but they are following pagan practices in these churches. We're in the month of December, and on December 25th, they call it Christmas. That is a requiem mass for a dead Christ. He is not dead, he is risen. That day was the day of Sol Invictus, the invincible sun, the sun god, also called Mithra. And that's when the days start to get longer. And it is the ascension of the sun god. And then they celebrate Ishtar Sunday, Easter Sunday. And I said this on a sermon with Pastor Mullet. We read over all of that. That Ishtar is Ashtaroth or Asherah. She is the mother of Mithra, the sun god. Now, this all dates back to Nimrod. Not only is she the mother of the sun god, she is consort. His lover. His own mother. That is sick, people. That's sick. Remember Oedipus? Loved his mother and had sexual affair. What does the Bible say about that? It is strictly prohibited. It is a death penalty. But that's what these pagans are doing. They're doing what pagans do best. They're going directly opposite of what Yahweh teaches and his laws. The book of 2 Samuel, these were all one book at one time, okay? When the Hebrew Bible was separated, when they printed it, the Jews broke the books up. But before that, like Kings was also one book. First and Second Chronicles. That was all one book. Well, First and Second Samuel, Shemuel, that was all one book. I'm doing these as separate books because that's what most of the Bibles today have in them. They have them separated. So for ease of study, so you can follow along, I'm doing these with the separation. I have that noted very, very much in my translation of the scriptures. But we're going to get into the continuing story of Dawid after this battle in which Shaul and his best friend Jonathan were killed. He's going to have all kinds of trouble in his own house. His kingship is not going to be an easy kingship at all. So, Monday, I'm going to be starting the second book of Shemuel, and I very well might do the first three chapters, because the first two chapters are fairly short and an easy read, really. But the third chapter is a long chapter. It's got 39 verses in it. So I may very well do 1, 2, and 3 on Monday. There are only 24 chapters in the second book. So it's going to be a two-week study, starting on December the 12th and ending on December the 23rd. And after that, on the 26th, I will start into 1 Kings. So basically, for the next 2 weeks, we will be going through the book of 2 Samuel. And there's a lot of interesting things in it, and I will be making lots of comments. It is full of analogies that we can use today. A lot of similar activity will be taking place. Not exactly like it happens today. The same way in 1 Samuel, there's stuff that happened then that is very comparable with what's going on today. With the reign of Shaul, that was a very unrighteous reign of a man that went crazy. That's what happened to him. Yahweh sent an evil spirit. Okay, that's how they phrased it back then. Today, we would probably say he suffered from a massive dose of manic depression, throwing javelins at Dawid and his own son, Jonathan. He tried to pin Jonathan to the wall with a javelin. He was crazy. He was paranoid. We saw his paranoia when he screamed at his people, "You're all conspiring against me." Well, what have we had in this last election? Okay. And it's not over yet. They're still trying to thwart the election. Shrillery is going nuts, and she's got dementia. She's a Jewess, and she has these psychological problems inherent in the bloodline of the Jews, because they are of such mixed seed that they have all the bad things and genetic problems of all the races they have mixed with. And of course, she's hidden her name, but if you look at her background, her family lineage, she's Jew. The Bushes are of Jewish descent. They change their name. They don't all end in Steen or Stein. Brad Pitt is a Jew. Okay. blonde, blue-eyed Jew. And he's married to Angelina Jolie, who is a mutt, and then they adopted mutt children, blacks, etc., etc., ultra-liberal Hollywood stuff, and they're all involved, all of them are involved in politics. These are our rulers and leaders of today, because we rejected Yahweh. And if we would have stayed true to Yahweh, we would not have this problem. But we didn't. So we recognize all these problems. And everybody talks about the problems all the time. Oh, this is a problem and that's a problem. And then we had Ross Perot. Well, you just got to open up the hood and get in and fix it. Yeah, we never said how. He ran his face and then got out of the election, and the Bushes got in. He's part and parcel of the whole deal, and he's dropped off the face of the earth. We don't hear anything about him. Now we got this Pizzagate with all this child molestation, and it seems all our leaders, our rulers, our non-Yahweh worshiping rulers are into this perversion. This devilishness, child sacrifice, and they're trying to poo-poo it. Oh, that's all fake news. No, it's not. I'm sorry, it is not fake. They are being exposed, and they are going into full panic mode. Their financial empires are deteriorating. They're falling apart. Whole countries, which they bled dry, can't pay their debt. They're defaulting on the international bankers' debt, and they're not used to losing, and they're going crazy, and they're taking it out on the rest of us. And if they look like they're going down, they're going to try to take as many of us with them as they can, because they hate pure-blooded Israel. They've always hated it because they are of Esau and the Edomites and all the other ites they mixed with, and the Khazars, who were pagans and torturers and horrible people, human monsters, and they've mixed with all of them. And most of your Jews are of this Khazar ancestry, and then you mix that, they were mixed with the seed of Cain and the Canaanites. The Khazars were, and then they mixed with the rest of these mixed breed mutts. And you've just got a big devil soup right there. A devilish soup. A soup full of devils. With all the ingredients for satanic worship. And that's what a lot of this child stuff is. They sacrifice these children. Oh, you don't really believe that? Oh, yes, I really do believe that. I'm sorry. If it offends you, that's just tough. When you're dealing with the children, the physical seed line of the devil, which Christ called them right to their face, you know, you don't have to believe me, but are you going to believe Yeshua, Messiah? You going to call him a liar? Well, maybe you will. Maybe you will. You're going to do whatever you're going to do. It's my job here as a called preacher to teach the truth. There is overwhelming evidence that this stuff is going on, and the mainstream media won't touch it with a stolen 10-foot pole because they are servants of the devil as well. They're not interested in presenting you with the truth. They are totally controlled. And all these other rulers, they have been bought out by the powers that be. These are kings. There's more than one king now. There's all these kings. We are warned not to put a stranger over us. What have we had with this monkey in the White House? What is a president but a king, or a prime minister but a king? They're rulers. They're flooding our lands with these violent, illegal immigrants who are raping and killing and assassinating, and now we got terrorists, and they're running around stabbing people and shooting people. That was all done by our rulers. Brothers and sisters, our rulers have done that because we rejected Yahweh long ago. And the only out is to go back to Yahweh and repent and change our ways. And if we are part of the true remnant, put ourselves under his rule again, even if the rest of society is not. Let the rest of them do what they want. But we as Israelites need to be under Yahweh's rule. And we are the remnant that will be saved and the others will not. We are warned and warned and warned and warned what will happen in the last days. If you read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10, it tells you what happens when Yeshua Messiah comes back. All the governments of the world, every single government will fall on that day. They can't stand before him because he's not coming alone. Read the passage and see what's coming. On that day, the dead will rise first. Those of us that are of the true remnant, that are faithful or have died in his service, will receive new bodies. The others won't. A remnant is a small part of the whole. All the Israelites that were righteous by their actions that Yahweh will resurrect, that had the faith and served Yahweh, they will all receive eternal, permanent bodies. But these people that serve the devil and the minions and children of the devil that have chosen this world as their reward will burn up. It is hay and stubble. John the Baptist told those people, show fruits worthy of repentance, and they did not. And I repeat that to you today. I quote John the Baptist, show fruits worthy of repentance. Look up the word repentance. It requires action. You can't just say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm saved, and then keep on keeping on. Keep going to those satanic churches and spewing their lies out like little parrots. Oh, I love Jesus. Who's Jesus? His name's Yeshua, and it means Yah's salvation. And all through the Old Testament, which they want to set aside, it says, Yahweh says, I am your Redeemer. I am your salvation. I will save you. So Yahweh came in the form of a man. 100% man and 100% divine being at the same time. And we can't comprehend that because we're just men. And our science can't explain it away. And our science is pathetic. Because all our science has done for us, what have we done with it? We polluted the air, the water, and the land, and invented really cool stuff to kill a lot of each other very efficiently. Boy, that's progress, isn't it? And most of the people in this country and other countries watch that Talmud vision. Well, I don't have Talmud vision in my home. I don't have a TV. I don't watch it. I have garbage bags that I have in my tall kitchen garbage can. And when I put stuff in that, that's garbage. I take the garbage out of my home. I don't want a machine that pumps garbage into my home. Garbage in, garbage out. I'll watch stuff on the internet. A lot of educational stuff, even some recreational stuff. A lot of good music. Instrumental stuff, not this howling dog crying country, or that hip-hop or satanic rock and roll or any of that race mixing music. I listen to jazz and classics where people are playing instruments in beautiful songs. I like beauty in my life because beauty is created by Yahweh. And the rest of this stuff is devilish. You can tell the difference. Don't say you can't. Don't care whether you like it. If you're playing music that gives you violent feelings and hateful feelings and overwhelming sexual urges, that's not of Yahweh. That's of the adversary. I am very sorry. If that upsets you, then you will just have to be upset. Show fruits worthy of repentance. You have to change your lifestyle to match the scripture, not change the scripture, which they have done, to match their lifestyle. I have rewritten the Bible. I'm taking it back to the original language in the original word order and explaining the words because they have tampered over time, a little bit at a time. Making scripture say what they want it to say, not what it actually says. A lot of people hate me because of that. Oh, I just am so upset. Not. I don't care whether they hate me. Bible says they're going to hate you. They will revile you. They will kill you all the day long and think they do God a service. Because you tell the truth. They killed all the prophets. I'm not a prophet. I'm just a preacher. I'm a student and scholar of the scripture. And I want to put the truth out there. Now, does that put me at risk? Yes, it does. Do I care? No, I don't. I'm going to leave this body someday anyway. It doesn't mean a hill of beans. This body is breaking down. I got bad teeth, bad eyesight, bad hearing. I got a cough. I got arthritis. I walk with a cane. Wah, 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 wah. All these picayune little problems. That comes with old age, something you have to deal with. But my mind is still sharp because Yahweh has blessed me. And he's blessed me with all this language knowledge. I couldn't have learned all this stuff on my own. Yahweh's hand is in my life. That's why I'm so dedicated to him, because of the miracles he has laid upon me and others that I have seen clearly in my lifetime. I am a witness to Yahweh's greatness. I'm not going to deny that. I've seen his workings. I am amazed every day. I'm watching his systematic dismantling of the adversary's children financial empire. He's wrecking it. They're panicking. It's building, building, building. We're in the time of Jacob's troubles, prior to the full tribulation, but that is coming. Don't you doubt it. Every word in that scripture is true. All his prophecies are being fulfilled. And it's going to be ugly, and it's going to be a bloodbath when it hits. And then Yahshua is going to come back, and he's going to wipe them out. So those of us who do not lose faith, even when times are very bad, we will be saved. Well, I'm down to just a few minutes here, and I'm going to cut her short and let them have some time to maybe put a little more music in, do a short show so they can use it as a filler. So I will say Shalom Aleichem, that's peace be unto you, and may Yahweh bless and keep you, and I will catch you on Monday, I hope, if you tune in on Eurofolk Radio. And we'll start in on the second book of Shemuel. Yahweh bless.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.